A couple Sundays ago, I was in Dallas, Texas, there at Texas Stadium, where we had the run of the place, and amazed what man can come up with, but I'm more amazed what God can do through Jesus Christ in our life. Amen goes there. There you go. Okay. You told me I had to kind of kick him a little bit here, Bob. On there. All right. Anyway, I'm a former coach. I've coached Division I volleyball, soccer, and track. And so my conversation with you today is if you were on my team. And I want to talk to you straight. I wanted to give it to you in a way that you can understand and that you can apply these principles to your life that will help you through your daily struggles, but also that you can help others. Let us look at the scripture here today in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to what? Destruction. Doesn't say maybe, it says will lead to destruction. And how many are on it? A lot. Many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to what? Life. And only a few find it. Only a few find it. That means you gotta find it. It's out there. But you have to ask it to come to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we come before your throne of grace this day with thankful hearts. We're thankful for your love, for your salvation, for your forgiveness for each and every one of us. We're thankful for your Son Jesus who died on Calvary's tree through his death, burial, and resurrection, that we have a living Savior. And it's only through his shed blood can we come before you with our petitions and requests. Lord, we know there's some here today that are hurting, not only physically, but mentally. And Lord, we just ask that your Spirit dwell among them this day, touch their hearts, and the decisions that they make will be to glorify you. Again, Lord, if they do not know you, today will be the day they'll look back on as the day that they ask you into their life. Again, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we're thankful for your salvation. For we ask this in your name and to your glory. Amen. Well, dealing with college students, and some of you are probably in the same boat here, I can't wait. I'm excited. Anybody turning 16 here soon? There you go. 16? Can't wait, right? Yeah? Okay. All right. Anybody going to turn 21? Here soon. You know, Bob indicated in the first service how old we were. I said, we're not getting old, we're getting seasoned. And both of us, you know, I used to tell my students I suffer from Chester drawer disease. My chest had fallen down my drawers. Kind of keep those up, you know. It's gravity. Gravity is the main culprit there. But you can't wait. When my college students say, well, I'm going to turn 21 this week. I always say, well, what are you going to do when you turn 21 that you're not doing already now? Most of them will say, I'll get a legitimate ID card in there. So I can't wait. Some of you can't wait for your income tax returns. Some of you can't wait to April 15th to file your returns. So in our society, we have certain dates that we just can't wait. We're stuck in there with, I can't wait to get married. I can't wait to have a family. I can't wait to retire. And I retired from the military and outlived most of my enemies after 26 years of active reserve time. And it's been kind of nice to receive that retirement. And people asked me there at Cal, said, well, when are you going to retire? I said, man, when I came here 15 years ago, I felt like I retired because I lived in New York City prior to that. They go, well, I can handle the two signal lights there in California compared to New York City in there. I can't wait. But we reach a point where there's one thing that we don't say much about that we can't wait for, and that's when we die. Nobody walking around and say, man, I can't wait till I die. You know, I just can't wait. You know? Now, I think all of us who have professed Christ as our Savior realize that that time will come. I'm thinking of the bull rider cowboy. They asked him, he said, how bull riding like death? He said, well, it's like this. He says, you're never totally ready. It just becomes your turn. I understand that. I heard a preacher once, he said, even though I have eternal security, and when I look across that Jordan River, and I start sliding down that bank, I'm going to grab a few reeds along the way. That's where I'll be at. I'll be grabbing a few reeds, even though I know I'm going to be okay, but going down there. So it's a matter of, you can't wait. You can't wait. And yet, we reach a point that we have to make decisions. We reach a point where we have to decide how we're going to enter that phase of our life. And that's what I want to share with you today, is that we have a couple choices here. I always ask young people, when I counsel with them, they come in and look to come into our program, I ask them, I say, what do you want to do 10 years from now? And a lot of them say, well, I want to work in sports. And I said, okay, I'll take you down to the nursing home every Thursday and you can run the bingo tournament. Oh, I said, no, what you want is a career. What you want, a career. And you need some direction in where you want to go with this. And you need to make sure that what you do with this will get you to that point. And yet, if you have no direction in your life, you're going to hit your target every time, which is nothing. Which is nothing. I also ask him, what's going to make you a first round pick? What's going to make you a first draft pick, round pick? You know, what are you going to do? What are you willing to give up? I'm talking to a young man up there, run the sound. I hope he does a good job. Makes me look good. And I say, I love those guys in technology. They make guys like me look good. You know, I'm lucky to turn the computer on and hope it works and doesn't say error or something like that. And I remind my students, I said, be kind to those guys because either you're going to work for them or they're going to work for you, and they can make your life miserable. Okay? You know, in there. But what are they going to take to make you a first round pick? And yet, what kind of map are you using? What kind of guidebook do you use to get you there? Coming up here yesterday, getting GPS, take 70 up to Everett City. Yeah, who cares? I just went through there, you know. Got me here, got me on 422, go to the hotel, everything's good. That's great, that's comfortable. But you need to have a roadmap. And the only roadmap I have found to get me where I wanted to go here in life is right here. Now, I'm a typical guy. I'll probably hear a few amens here. But there's times I don't want to read this thing because I think I know. Okay? I think I know. I don't have to. Don't get that map out for me. Don't tell me. I know where to go. Well, officer, I thought I knew where to go. Yeah? Same thing here. When I've messed up in things in life, it's because I haven't established and I haven't followed the roadmap that the Lord has laid out for me. Amen there? How about, guys? Yeah? Have you ever met a person who gives you more trouble than yourself? Yeah. I get myself into more trouble, and I don't need no help from nobody else. I do a pretty good job of it. All right? Well, one of the things that I teach there in California is ethics in sports. And part of this, following your guidebook, following your roadmap, following direction, make sure you get where you want to go, that you have a purpose, that you have a direction, is understanding that there are some laws that you need to follow. And the one thing I always ask the students is, what's your first law? Where do you draw that line? Where do you draw that line that you will not pass that? That you will say, I will stand here and I will not cross over that line. Now, most of my students tell me, I won't kill anybody. Okay? I won't kill anybody. My young ladies, a lot of times, they will say, well, I won't have a child out of wedlock. So that's commendable. That's commendable. And yet, as we make these choices, all of us draw the line in different places. But how many times have you moved that line? Say, well, I can't live up to that. Well, we're encouraged, though, to have some stability, to have a foundation under us, because without a foundation, we're going to be like building a house on shifting sand all over the place. And that's why you can't get where you want to go, because you're too busy shifting and sliding around and not getting where you want to go. I work with a lady, she's a janitor, and she's all excited. She's getting married. I said, well, congratulations. She said, yep, this is my third one, and my husband-to-be, second wedding. I said, all right. I said, yeah, we've been living together for 2 years. I said, I said, what are you holding out for the marriage since you've been living together? She says, I don't cook for him. You don't cook for him? Nope. He begged me to fry him an egg. Please, no, no, I'm not going to fry you no egg till we get married. I'm not going to cook you nothing. That's a poor example of drawing a line in the sand. But it goes to show how kind of things get all screwed up here in our society. And yet, foolish is the person who sets out on a journey that does not consider where they're going to end up. This foolishness, the Bible tells us that's foolish. And yet, a lot of you in your past life, maybe even today, some of you just have no direction. In fact, you're here today and you didn't know you were going to come here today. You just heard there was going to be pizza and food afterwards. So here I am. Just kidding there on that one. But you need to have direction. And establish your first law. Where do you draw that line? Well, the Bible says we have two choices. If you notice in here, there isn't any in between. It is one or the other. You either have a broad road or a narrow road, a narrow gate to enter. And the tough part about this is that you can't have them both. It's like a person trying to ride two horses going different directions. You're not going to be comfortable. You will not be comfortable when that happens. I had a student tell me this week, she said, well, I'm 90% an angel, 10% devil. I said, girl, you ain't going to be happy. And Leon, your boyfriend, that's what I always call the boys, and the girls' friends, I call them Juanitas. Hope I don't offend anybody here. But I said, oh, Leon, as long as he knows you got 10% of devil in you, he's going to take advantage of that. And she said, well, you're right. I said, you need to be 100% angel. So we're working with her and several other of her friends. But let me give you a few characteristics that may help you decide what kind of lifestyle you want to have and where you're going to end up. Where you're going to end up here. You know, on the broad road, we have a lot of silly stuff. We see things, people doing things who are on the broad road. In fact, if you watch the Academy Awards tonight, you're just going to see the ultimate of stupidity. And yet people drool over these folks. Oh, wow, I touched them, you know. One time, Claudia and I were in the airport in Los Angeles and ran into Richard Simmons. You know? Yes, I talked to Richard Simmons, okay? Anybody want to touch me? But, that was amazing. Watch people. You there, Richard Simmons? I said, you know? I said, you ever met anybody popular? I said, yeah, Jesus. And they go, who? Jesus. Wow. You know him? In my heart. Wow. You know? Did he sign an autograph? No. Nope. Signed my heart, though. Okay. So we have a lot of silliness. And the broad road, a lot of time, usually is downhill and very crooked. This is Lombard Street in San Francisco, where Claudia and I lived for a few years. We went there one spring to take pictures. Beautiful street. They pruned it. Day we got there. Didn't get to do it. But it reminds me of the path of our lives. So many times we want to go to point A to point B, and it doesn't happen, does it? Who would have thunked a few years back that you would be here today in this church? And you would tell your friends, you know, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Yeah, right, yeah, okay. They just don't believe you. But the broad road has a lot of twists and turns in it, and has a lot of silly stuff. You read about people having mink carpet in their car for floor mats. You know, lavish, yachting, boating, being a retired Coast Guard officer, I saw a lot of people's dreams go up in smoke with boats and yachts that caught on fire. That was their whole life. I said, surely there's more to life than that. But let me give you a few broad road characteristics. And some of you could probably add to this, if you would. But one of the first things about the broad road is, it's broad. You don't have to aim at it. It's out there. In fact, Satan is so arrogant that he doesn't even have to ask you to go down this road. He just knows you're on it. And as long as you're on it, he is happy. On the other hand, Jesus asked you to come and to follow him. You have an invitation today to come to Jesus. Satan's going to tell you, come on, you can do that later. You know, people will be embarrassed. You come down here today, you give your heart to Jesus, you're going to have to change your lifestyle, you're going to have to get new friends, you know. Might even have to take a shower. Yeah. I've called out some students. I said, look, you stink. You sit in the back of the room. I'm going to take you down to car wash, get you lined out. What's the matter? He says, what day of the month is it? I said, the first of the month. He said, yeah, I've got to take a bath now. Whew. Gets tough. All right, so it's broad. It's broad. Second thing here, there's a whole lot of folks on it. Whole lot of folks on this thing, on this road. I may be going down, but I'm going down with the crowd. The business that I get to work in is sports. It's amazing. People give us folks in sports money for a product that you will not be given any guaranteed satisfaction. If that was the case, the Pirates would have been, until this past year, outside the stadium, said, Brian, we lost today. Here's your money back. Anybody ever have that happen? Don't happen. I'm a diehard Cardinal fan, and this year was really tough on campus. I even asked a security guard. I said, look, I'm wearing my Cardinal jersey here when the Cardinals and the Pirates were playing. And I said, would you kind of escort me off campus? Because guys were calling me out, and says, Cardinals suck and all this stuff. And I asked the officer, I said, hey, will you escort me off campus? He says, you're on your own, bub. On there. And yet, we don't give any product satisfaction. We don't give refunds. And yet, we got people standing in line to give us money. In fact, the Steelers, John Simpson, head of marketing for the Steelers, a good friend of mine. I said, John, how many people you got on the waiting list for the Steelers tickets? He said, over 18,000. And there are people who will sell their firstborn child to get tickets to go to Steelers games. Might be different if they don't start winning. But again, there's a whole lot of folks on it. People go to these games and sports. We talk about socialization of sport, and there's camaraderie. There's people that will be wearing a Pirate hat or a Steeler hat. When we go down to Myrtle Beach, I'm wearing my military hat, and they say, right on, man. I think, well, all right, they appreciate my military. And they know they see my Steeler shirt, and they Steeler man. Oh, wow. Camaraderie. So there's a whole lot of folks on this road. This road will use you. Will use you. Some of you know that very well. Like the prodigal son. As long as you got something this group can leech off of you, they will use. One of the statistics that a lot of you folks may not know is that professional football players, when they get out of professional football, which is usually 2 to 3 years, that's the length of their career, most of these young men are broke. 70% of these guys are broke when they leave professional football. Think they got used? Their agent says, you want a new car? We get you a new car. You want a home? We get you a home. You want a home for mama? We get you a home for mama. And each one of those transitions, they take 10% of what they did. James, when he signed with Nike, got $90 million. When he signed with Nike, his agent got one-third of that contract. How about that? Sport agent. Guys are ruthless. But they will use you. They will use you. Michael Jordan tells the story that when he got cut from his high school team, said he wasn't good enough, the people that encouraged him are still his friends today. And some of you have gone through some tough times. I have a nephew that's a drug addict out in Colorado, and he's always getting robbed and always getting beat up. And they said, TJ, why do you do this? Well, they're my friends. Hello? Hello, I think you need a checkup from the neck up. You know, on that. So they will use you. They will use you on that broad road. Even though it's broad, a lot of folks on it, they're going to take everything that you got. They're not going to give you anything back. Well, there's also some broad road churches. Excuse me. In these churches, there's no sin. All's okay. They have no standards. And if you think you're right, you're right. And there is nothing about being born again talked about in these churches. And so there's a whole lot of folks that are going to church who think, well, everything's okay because I'm a God, you're a God, we're all gods. That's existentialism. It's leading to our downfall. I like coming up here because I know where your folks are in your beliefs, is that you have standards. You have guidelines for your members. So you come here, this is what we believe. No compromise. And yet some people will say, well, prove to me there's a God, or, you know, do you believe that your way of belief through Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? And some of you try to battle that battle. I remember a couple of years ago listening to Franklin Graham. He was on the Today Show or something. And they said, do you feel the way you believe is the only way to heaven? And Franklin said, let's turn to Scripture. He opened the Scripture up and said, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one goes to the Father except through me. Franklin looked at them and he said, this is what Scripture says. This is what I believe. He didn't get any arguments with them. And that's where a lot of times we mess up, trying to argue with the people on the broad road, saying, well, you got it all wrong. You got to do this. It's the only way. Refer to your roadmap. Refer to your guidebook. Say, this is what it says. I believe it. I'm going to live it. Okay? So don't get in any discussion with them. It's one of the powers that Satan has. Okay. Also on this road, there's no grace. There's no grace. There's no grace. There's no mercy or forgiveness along this road. This punishment, given allegiance only to yourself and do whatever satisfies you and your own fancy. Where's that gotten you? What has that done for you lately? Following your own desires, you know. Okay. As I share with my students, I tell them that life is tough, but it's tougher when you are puzzled with. I used to say stupid, but somebody got offended. I said stupid, so. New word is puzzle wits. Okay? They still know what I mean. I messed up in the other service. I thought it was John MacArthur who said, and I'm really not sure who it is, but a famous pastor talked about, I just caught the tail end of a radio show, so hope I didn't get anybody in trouble. But famous pastor had all the excuses in the world. His father was the town alcoholic. His mother was a large lady. He was too embarrassed to be with her because they could not enter a doorway together. He was a joke of the town. You talk about people walking around saying, well, I can't get into this Jesus business because, you know, I have too many other things going on. My dad's the alcoholic. In fact, some towns don't have alcoholics, and they rent my dad to go to other towns just so they could have an alcoholic. They want to pass the blame why they're still on the broad road. They want to pass it off to others. They don't want to take any responsibility. Okay. Well, last thing here, what does it lead to? What does it lead to? Death. Destruction. Doesn't say, maybe. Scripture doesn't say, well, we think it does. What does it say? It does lead to destruction. This road leads to destruction. And it may have the bright lights and the glamour and all these neat things. But this road leads to everlasting darkness and being shut out from the presence of the Lord, from his power and his mercy. So what do you want to be on this road for? I think of a sign during the spring when out in the farmlands of southern Illinois where I grew up. It says, pick your ruts wisely. You're going to be in them for the next 10 years. Okay? So why stay in these ruts when you don't have to? Why stay in these situations when you don't have to? The only good thing that comes about on this broad road is that you can make a U-turn. You can make a U-turn. Now, some of you have made that U-turn. You realize the way you were going was leading to nowhere. You had no direction. People had abused you, abused you. You were basically, the Lord had to break you to nothing before He could build you up. So why would you want to do that? Why do you want to do that? There's hope. There's hope on this broad off of this broad road. Why do you want to hang out with these type of guys? That's WWE wrestlers. I watch them on Monday night. I've had students work for those guys behind the scenes. And I was in Stanford, Connecticut a few years ago. And I asked him, I said, this is when Hulk Hogan and everybody was wrestling. I asked him, I said, how's the match going to come out here on Saturday? They said, here's the script, read it. Now, I'm probably going to shock some of you. What? It's staged? Oh. Script's out there. And I just find it entertaining. I shut the sound off so I can listen to my lovely wife comment how silly I am to watch that stuff. But again, why would you want to be hanging out with that group on the broad road? Why? Haven't you had enough? Why would you want to go to hell? Isn't this life tough enough? Isn't there enough problems living on this earth without spending an eternity being miserable? All this broad road promises us is more destruction, more headaches, pain, and misery. How many of you want to sign up for that? We'll get a sheet over here today, and we'll just have you go ahead and sign up for it, get it out of the way, and then we won't be pestering you anymore. Say, I want to stay on this broad road because this is what I'm going to get. I'm going to have these heartaches and destruction and misery. I like it. Anybody want to sign up? Mm-hmm. Okay. Excuse me. But this road leads to death. There's only one way off of it. Is you have to repent. You have to do it. Brother Bob can't do it. The elders can't do it. I can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. You have to do it. So why stay on it? Why stay on it? Why not repent? Jesus tells us it doesn't matter where you are. He will take you. He will take you no matter where you're at. You might think you are the sorriest thing around. You might think you're the most disgusting thing around. Jesus says, come. I love you. I want you. I want you to be one of my child, one of my children. Well, as we go on here, there is a narrow gate. There is a narrow gate. You have to make this decision. A couple characteristics of the narrow gate. It's lonely. Lonely. Think back of when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, lost your friends, people you thought you could never live without. Where are they at now? They don't have nothing to do with you. Because you become a holy roller, one of them saved people, one of them Jesus freaks. It's lonely. Bob can probably attest that when you stand for Jesus, you're alone. I'm a member of the union there at the university. And when they tried to bring in same-sex marriages and lifetime companions, I stood up at the general meeting and said, I think it's wrong. Booed. Oh, we have to provide insurance for this. Well, they found out now, and you folks are paying for this, that a lot of these same sex marriages haven't quite worked out, but they can't get them off the insurance. And some of these people have three or four partners that you're paying their health benefits for. I told them it was wrong. They said, well, yeah, you're right. We can't get out of it now. But it's lonely. I mean, I got ridiculed. Rest assured, I didn't get asked to the social party after the fact. That was okay by me. couple years ago, or last year, during the hurricanes or tornadoes to Oklahoma. Maybe you remember the story. The teacher got her kids together in the middle of the hallway, and the building collapsed all around them. And they asked the lady, she said, What'd you do? How did you save all these children? She said, I got them together, we held hands, and we prayed. We all prayed. And what happened to the lady? Anybody? She got fired because she prayed in school. Lady had over 20 years of experience. I got the kids together, we held hands, we prayed, the building fell all around us. School board said, you're fired, you're praying in school. There were more schools came and offered that lady more positions. My point is, it's lonely out there, and yet you stand for the Lord, He will honor you. He will honor you. You might not understand the situation at the time. She said, I don't know why I lost my job, but I did. And heard her speak a few months later, said, I've had over 20 offers. Life is even better now. And I would do it again. So it's lonely. It's lonely. You're on your own. You are on your own. Mama can't do this for you. You got to do it yourself. It's kind of like for those of you who have graduated from high school or college, when that time comes to get your diploma, you get on the stand, you walk across there, you testify that I have done this work, that I'm doing it, I have made this decision, and it is yours. You can't send somebody else up to get your diploma. There again, you're on your own. You have to make that decision. Okay? You must want to be on this road. You must want this. You must want to be there. You must want to do it. You must want to have it happen. The desires of your heart. I spent two tours of duty on the Exxon Valdez spill back in the late 80s and 90s. And when I got done my tour of duty, I left Anchorage and flew back to Lynchburg, Virginia, where we were living at the time. 747, big plane, first class. Everything was nice, it was comfortable, but that isn't where I wanted to be. I wanted to get home. I wanted to get home. Flew into some place, either Roanoke or Lynchburg. Got a car, four-lane highway, that was nice. Got over to Oxford Furnace Road, single-lane bridge, country road, winding and curving. It wasn't quite as nice as the other roads, but that's okay. That's where I wanted to go. Got into Smoky Hollow. Went down my lane. My driveway was 1,000 feet long. That's where I wanted to be. I wanted to see Claudia and the kids. That's where I wanted to be. You have to want it. You have to go through that gate. You have to make it work. You'll be challenged. You will be challenged. You will have people take you to task. You will have people challenge you. And you will see people curse you, defriend you, and yet if your life is not built on the Word of God, your world's going to crumble all around you. See, you don't have a foundation, and you're going to be like shifting sand. You're going to go all over the place. And you will be challenged. And Satan will be after you. Satan will be after you. And yet I have people tell me, say, well, Satan doesn't bother me. Well, why should he? You're one of his. He doesn't bother his own. So if Satan's giving you a hard time, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Okay? Last part of this, on the narrow road, there's a helper out there. There's a helper out there. It stirs your heart. A lot of times your heart knows way before your mind does. What's right, what's wrong. Amazing. When I see these kids, they knew they did wrong. And they'll call me and they say, hey, can you help me get out of jail? You know, I don't have to tell them they did something wrong. They already knew it. They already knew it. Down where we're at on Route 43, it's a toll road. And State Farm has these help trucks going up and down the road, up and down the road, seeking for people who have broken down, people who have ran out of gas. I asked one of the guys who drives a truck, I said, what's the silliest thing about all this? He says, you would think people would know for $5 worth the gas, you can't drive from Morgantown clear to Pittsburgh. But people travel all the time, and they just drive up and down the road looking for somebody to help. That's the way the Holy Spirit is. It's there to help you. It is there to direct you. It is there to give you guidance. It is there to lay on you about the roadmap that you need to follow. The last part of this, it leads to life. It leads to life. What kind of life? What kind of life? Eternal life. Eternal life. Does a broad road lead you anywhere? Nope, leads to destruction. This leads you to eternal life. There's no such promise on the broad road. It will be worth it all to be with Jesus. And you'll be getting a new body, a new joy, a more, and no more additional fees are required. Jesus has paid it all. And the great thing about this is that when you get up to heaven, you're not going to have anybody walking around up there saying, "I didn't want to be up here in the first place. You know, he made me get up here." It doesn't work that way. Everybody there wants to have that eternal life. To me, that's exciting. To me, that is exciting. So, have you made that decision to go through the narrow gate? I don't know. You're going to have to answer that. My question to you is, are you there? Are you making that decision? Are you going to wait? If you're going to wait, what are you waiting for? You might not have tomorrow to do that. Okay. Well, there is another part of this. There is another part of this. And there will be a final exam. Last time I was here, I think I talked about the final exam. Just a real quick refresher on this is that how you come along in your preparation for your final exam. When you stand before the Lord, how are you going to answer these questions? You know, how prepared are you? Have you been reading the manual? Have you been reading the map? Have you been communicating with our Lord Jesus? And that when that time comes for that exam, are you going to try to explain God how good you are, or you want Jesus to do the talking? Who you want to do the talking for you? Myself, I want Christ to speak in my behalf. I get tickled these guys when I see God, I'm going to talk to him. Said, "You ain't even going to be in the ballpark. You know, you ain't even going to be close." You know? And any of you who have studied God's Word, we can't even look upon Him. And that's where we need Jesus Christ to come in and speak in our behalf. And Jesus will say, "This person is a sinner. They've done a lot of things wrong. But they believe in me and my atoning blood. And therefore, they are forgiven." Not, "I think they're forgiven." No, he says, what? "They are forgiven." I would like somebody to speak to you on your behalf that way. Now, a lot of you will no doubt say, "Well, how do I know if I'm going to pass fail? And this is a pass fail. Or how close was I to the cutoff line?" That won't have anything to do with that. I get tickled, these kids. "Well, you know, can I redo it over again?" Well, in life we can't. In life we can't. We get one shot at it. So my question to you today is that would you rather have Jesus speak on your behalf, or you want to try to handle it on your own? See, that's your decision. I can't decide it for you. Bob can't decide it for you. The elders can't decide it for you. Mama can't decide it for you, young people. "Well, my mama was saved." Well, good. But unless you change your way, you will never see mama again. You will never see mama again. So how do you know your past? How do you know your past? In Matthew 25:21, we are told, the only way that we can be saved, get on that narrow road, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way the gap can be bridged. You can't work your way through it. It has to be through accepting Jesus Christ. And if you have not done that, What's stopping you? I go back. Why do you continue to want to be misery? Why do you keep going over this again and again? See, some of you go into a court and you want to be the judge, you want to be the prosecutor, you want to be the jury all against yourself. Why don't you just turn it over to the Lord and let the power of our Savior Jesus Christ take care of it for you. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of you deciding what you want to do. And yet, this choice is yours. This choice is yours. And yet you say, but you don't know all the rotten, dirty things I've done. There's a little thing in here called grace. Grace. God's grace. And it's the grace I remember, the sin He forgets. And how do you know if you passed that final exam? It's right here. This is what you want to hear. You don't want to hear, I think I'll get back to you. This is what you want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. If you feel you cannot hear that, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from getting on that narrow road today? And let the brothers and sisters of this church and this congregation to help you, to encourage you. Okay? Ask for help. That's what we're here for. Ask for the guidance that will help you. Well, as we close today, I want you to think about the grace I remember, the sin He forgets. We're going to have some words up here that might touch your heart. I'm going to ask Brother Bob and the elders to come forward, if any of you want to come forward today and to clean the slate. Say, today is the day I want to get on that narrow road. Today is the day I need to be with the Lord.